آپ ہیں ایس بی ایس ہندی کے ساتھ اور خبروں کے لیے جائیں sbs.com.au/hindi پر۔
آسٹریلیا میں ایک ایسی جگہ ہے جہاں گایوں کو پوجا جاتا ہے، مانا جاتا ہے، سنبھالا جاتا ہے اور ان کی سیوا کی جاتی ہے، تب بھی جب وہ بوڑھی ہو جاتی ہیں اور دودھ دینا بند کر دیتی ہیں۔ اس جگہ کا نام ہے نیو گووردھن فارم۔ اس کون دوارا چلایا جا رہا ہے، یہ فارم کیسا ہے، کب سے ہے، کیوں ہے اور کیا سکھاتا ہے، یہ جاننے کے لیے ہم نے بات کی ہے ان گایوں کے رکھوالے، ان کی دیکھ بھال کرنے والے، پچھلے 3 دشک سے اس فارم پر کام کر رہے کرشنا کیرتن داس سے، جو خود ایک آسٹریلیائی ہیں لیکن اب ان کا نام کرشن کیرتن داس ہو گیا ہے۔ کرشن، آپ کا بہت بہت سواگت ہے ایس بی ایس ہندی پر۔ پلیز ٹیل اس مور اباؤٹ دس کاؤ فارم ان آسٹریلیا۔
Okay, so New Govardhan Farm, which is in northern New South Wales, was founded in 1977. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, put out like a worldwide push for us to acquire more rural properties to be able to demonstrate a more simpler way of life, a more traditional way of life based around the land, the cows, growing your own food, like that. And we also have 2 other farms in Australia. One is in the Hunter Valley, 2 hours north of Sydney, in a place called Millfield, New Gokul Farm, and 1 other farm near Geelong, about 45 minutes southwest of Geelong. So these 3 farms are trying to, we're trying to demonstrate cow protection, the traditional way of taking care of the mother cow, is we take the milk from her and produce so many wonderful foods. Here at New Govardhan, on our farm, we have a dairy kitchen. Every day the milk is processed and they make fresh butter. We also make ghee. All the milk produce that's offered on the altar at the temple to the deities is made from fresh milk that's produced here. So it's very wonderful. So we invite people to contribute. We have many sponsors for our cow programs and everybody can get involved.
So are these cows bought or how do you get them?
We originally had to buy the first lot of cows back in 1977, and we've been breeding for 40 years, over 40 years now. And so we occasionally may buy a couple of different cows to add to the mix. But generally, we breed all our own cows, and then half the cows, are going to be females, the other half are going to be bulls. So we also have a bullock and care training program where we train all the young bulls out to help do some work around the farm. They can pull logs and small plows and carts and so on and so forth. And the mothers are looked after with their calves. And then as they get older, we have a retirement village like a goshala where they're taken care of like that up to their final days, fully protected for their whole lives.
And how many people are there involved in this goshala?
Indirectly, we have probably 6 people on the ground on a daily basis, and then there's many volunteers that also help at different times when required. We also have school students that come down and do some of their school lessons here as well, and they learn animal husbandry and farming techniques. And we also run the biggest woofer program in Australia, which is willing workers and organic farms. So we have many international visitors come and contribute also. We have very large organic gardens, and all the cow dung is collected and utilized, composted. And we want to show people the real value of cows, more valuable alive than dead. People in the West like to eat the cow, which is not a very, very nice thing. So here we show people that keeping cows alive is more valuable than.
Interesting you say that, because in a country like Australia where beef is so popular and people love beef, so how does this philosophy of yours exist amidst all this?
Like I said, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, introduced the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Lord Krishna's teachings to the West in 1966, and many, many young people took these teachings and gave up those bad habits of meat eating, intoxication, illicit connections with ladies and gambling, all these vices of the West we were able to give up. And we all became aspiring servants of Krishna. And Krishna loves his cow, so we also love Krishna's cow. So it's just part and parcel of our philosophy, that they're all living, breathing creatures. And food for human beings is grains and sugar and fruit and vegetables and nuts and seeds. and not cows. We don't even have the proper digestive system to eat meat. Carnivorous animals, their stomach acid is 20 times stronger than human beings to be able to break down flesh. They have, you know, claws and sharp teeth. And if you look at carnivorous animals, herbivorous animals, they have very long intestines like human beings, and for chewing food and slowly digesting like that. So we're built more like vegetarians by nature. Just out of bad habit, we tend to eat other things that we shouldn't eat. And then you have the health, you know, consequences that come from heart disease and cancer and high blood pressure and so many other problems.
Could you please picture for us a normal day in Goshala?
I'm going to Goshala at 5 a.m. They start with the morning milking. And then the milk is collected and taken to the kitchen, which is right inside the Goshala, dairy kitchen, special kitchen for milk production. And the cows then are taken to their pastures. Now being winter, we have special grasses we grow in the winter grasses, and they're put in there to with their calves. And then they graze for the day, and then they come back about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's the evening milking, and then they're sheltered at night, and the process starts again the next day. During the day, the milk is processed in many ways. The devotees here have become expert in making, you know, plus all the milk sweets for the offerings to the deities are produced, all the sandeshas and rasgullas and burfis and sweet rice, kheer. That's done during the day. The bulls during the day, they're usually training or working a little bit like that. Also, the cowherd people were out repairing fences, doing pasture improvement, that sort of taking care of sick cows. And then over on the other side of the property, we have all our very old cows and bulls, and it's a bit more hands-on there. They need a lot of caring and looking after in their elderly, you know, in their final years. Like I said earlier, we give them full protection for their whole lives. Not that they stop giving milk and then we send them away. No, we respect them like they're like our mother. When your mother stops giving you milk, you still love her.
Krishna, when did you move to the farm, and what?
Well, I first visit. I've been in the Hare Krishna movement for 40 years, and I first visited here in 1980, but I didn't move up. I was in Sydney Temple, and I moved up here with my family. I have a wife and 4 sons. We moved up here in 1994, 26 years ago. And yes, and all my sons are married to the, you know, Hare Krishna girls also, and I have grandchildren, grandsons, and the tradition continues. And it's funny you say that. Both my sons and grandsons come and help on the weekend with the cows. You know, the little
okay.
boys like to prepare the feed for the calves and pick up the cow dung. And so they're all involved in one way or the other.
And do they, your grandsons and your grandchildren, do they understand the a sense of having cow as a mother?
Very much so. Yeah, I mean, obviously the very young ones are still a bit young to understand, but they have natural affection and respect for the cows because they've grown up with them in that way. They don't see the cow as something that you should eat. They see the cow as something you should respect and care for, you know. My own sons, 30 years ago, we used to bring cows home or calves home when they were weaned off their mother, and my boys used to sleep on them, use them as loungers. So for them, it's a complete different relationship. They see them as living, breathing creatures. They have a soul, they have feelings, and they need to be cared for and looked after. They're a domesticated animal. They need humans to look out for them, not to abuse them and exploit them, but actually to take care of them.
Krishna, you have seen 4 decades of this movement. What are the changes the movement has gone through in Australia, especially because the number of Indians have increased in the recent years? So what kind of changes?
Dramatically. Well, for the early days, it was a very, like I said, very young movement. When I joined, it was just you were either a devotee in the temple, living physically in the building, or you weren't a devotee. It was more black and grey, so to speak, because we're mostly single people, so we were living in ashram life. As the years went on, then more of the young men became a little bit older and got married and moved out of the temple. So then we started having a community that lived both inside, outside the temple. And then we had our children growing up and going to university and becoming professionals. So it became more and more wider, the the Society of Devotees, and now today you have Hare Krishnas everywhere living their own lives and practicing the philosophy and the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness in their own homes with their family and friends. And some just visit the temple from time to time, perhaps on Sundays or festivals. So now it's a more socially accepted, broadly practiced way of life, rather than in the early days when it was just a few people packed in the temples. And, you know, like missionaries, we used to travel, we used to go out and chant on the streets, distribute books, and that was, pushing the cause, so to speak. But now it's a much broadly accepted, and people, you know, we can walk around with our tilak on our faces and our seekers anywhere in the streets, and people are happy and fine. You know, they can relate to us more.
And do you visit India?
Yes, I haven't been for some time, but the devotees we visit, yeah, I've been many times. Pardon?
When were you there last time?
I haven't been there since 2003 because I've had a few health issues, but okay. My family, my boys visit often. We go to Mayapur, which is our world headquarters. This is where the Hare Krishna movement was inaugurated from 500 years ago. And with Vrindavan, of course, we go to see the Krishna's birthplace and a tour of Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. We go to mostly these places, but also other places. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been many times, especially in my younger days, you know. We all love India very much. It's our second home.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us, Krishna. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, and if any of your listeners want to visit, you're welcome to come. At the moment, it's been a bit restrictive with the corona, but it's slowly reopening up again. So we'll be having more public festivals very soon.
ऐसी ही और कहानियाँ सुनना चाहते हैं? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify या फिर जहाँ आप podcast सुनते हैं, वहाँ हम हैं।